Hello, everyone. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast, where every week, Jeff Glover will dive deep into the questions that you are asking. He understands the challenges you are facing on a day-to-day basis because he still works every day on the front lines of real estate, with him and his team closing over 1,000 homes per year. In today's episode, we will be talking to Martin Boma on how to dominate your city. You will learn from Jeff and Martin how building a relationship with your database and knowing your market by heart can help you dominate your neighborhood. Now let's hear from Jeff Glover and Martin Boma.
So the next person I want to bring out is someone who I've looked up to for 10 plus years. He was probably one of the original big producers in a market that's just outside of Detroit. And certainly I paid a lot of attention to this gentleman's business and the way he conducted business and the way his organization operated. And I've looked up to him for years. And quite frankly, I can think back to many times saying, okay, well, how's Martin Boma doing it? How's this guy doing it? Let's pay attention to what he's doing. And so, I knew there would be a day that we would be putting these on. And I have a list, which you've probably seen now if you've come a few times, of people that I want to get up here, because these are people that I've learned from and that I've observed. You know, I talk a lot about, to build a big business, you really have to have three things that you focus on. Number one is exposure, right? Exposure to the right people, the right system, the right ideas, getting outside of the box, not relying on, you know, not comparing yourself to agents in the office, comparing yourself to agents across the state, across the country, and so on. The second thing we talk about is skills, having amazing skills, right? When I was first starting in the business at 18 years old, I had a couple fears. One fear I had was, I really hope they don't ask how old I am. And my second fear was, I hope they don't ask how long I've been in the business. And so I'll never forget, I learned early on that the only way to overcome those fears, which, you know, obviously we've got some people that are new to the business or younger in age in the audience, the only way to overcome those fears is to sound like you've been doing it for a long time. Well, how do you sound like you've been doing it for a long time? You develop sales skills, which is obviously what we teach. And the third thing for success today in this business is how well you manage your time. So when I think of someone that has mastered those three, exposure, because I always see this guy at an event, all right, skills, you're going to see firsthand the level of skills that he has, and how well he manages his time, I got to believe it is like clockwork, because I've observed him through the years. So let's give a warm welcome to Mr. Martin Boma. Come on out, Martin. Thanks for being
Jeff.
Here.
Hey, thank you.
Grab a seat.
Yep.
If you wouldn't mind, share with the audience. I want to hear a little bit about how long you got, you know, how long you've been in the business, yep. When you got into the business, just a little bit of the background, because not everyone here has been following you as long as I've been following you. So. Pretend like nobody knows who you are.
Okay, excellent. Well, I got into the business 34 years ago, a few years ago. And I always tell my story because a lot of people think that I was always as successful as I am. And I actually failed miserably for the first 4 years. I'd sold a few houses to friends and stuff like that. I actually quit my job. I had a good job at the hospital and mm-hmm. thought I was going to do well at this, and realized I really, I didn't know what I was doing. And so finally I was at one brokerage, and I got my mail out of my box, and there was a note on a yellow pad from my manager. Mm-hmm. And he says, Martin, I don't think you have what it takes to make it in real estate. Now the guy, he didn't coach me, he didn't do nothing, and so I grabbed that paper and I'm going, I think I've been fired. And I was too embarrassed to talk to him. Yeah. So I'm standing in the lobby of my office, and this woman came up to me, and I'm forever indebted to her.
Yep.
And she said, Martin, what's the matter? And I said, Heidi, I think I've been fired. And she goes, well, do you want to make it in real estate? And I said, well, I sort of have to, because I quit my job.
Yep.
And then she said, will you do what it takes? And I said, yes, I will. So she took me to the back of the office, and the two of us literally sat on the phones from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. I would only leave for appointments, and that's when my career started taking off. It was literally, that's what she taught me about time, focus,
yeah,
doing the things that are necessary.
What did, not to interrupt your story, yeah. But I do want, and I think it's valuable for the audience to hear this, what did your day look like when she said, here's what you got to do? What was a typical day?
It was literally an honest to truth. I got the brushes.
Yep, the book, the old blue book.
The old blue book.
Yep, I did that too when I started.
Yeah. And we literally from A to B, well, I'd made it a little more strategic. I would ask agents in the office, hey, do you have a buyer for a neighborhood, right? So I was calling a little bit with a purpose.
Yeah.
And I just started literally from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock at night, I was on the phone nonstop.
And you were calling into neighborhoods.
Correct.
And your was it like a just listed, just sold call? What type of call? What was the reason or purpose for your call?
Well, it started with there's one agent in our office who wanted a buyer for a particular neighborhood, and so I really focused on that neighborhood. It was called Depot Town, mm-hmm. and this is back before computers when everything was online. And yep. I actually went to the assessor's office, and I made a photocopy of the assessor's card of every single house in that neighborhood. And I started collecting data. So I'd get on the phones. Anytime I had any information, I'd put that on that, write it on the card.
Yep.
I would door knock. When I listed a property, I would send out a just listed, just sold card. I mean, yep. I just really, really saturated that one neighborhood, and I dominated that neighborhood. And that's sort of how I got started.
And that was kind of the turning point for you,
correct.
Right? That was the, okay, somebody in the office, and of course, when you're newer and kind of naive to the business, because yep. we see this all the time, people will post, hey, who has a buyer for this one? You right. actually took that literally and
right.
said,
right,
okay,
right.
I'll go find something, I guess, and yep. you scour the neighborhood, and you did it time and time again, and next
right.
thing you know, you are it in that neighborhood.
Yep.
So then what happened?
Well, then I realized that this worked really well in this neighborhood, so
yep.
I started doing it in different neighborhoods, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sort of like what you said earlier, I didn't go really big. I just
yep.
started small
yeah.
and just really, really hit those neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And I started expanding that way into different areas.
So when you say you hit those neighborhoods, what does hitting a neighborhood mean?
Just repeating what I had done, right? I would, again, I would always work off of someone's buyer. As I got started, the further I got along, I had my own buyers for neighborhoods, right?
Yep.
And I would just focus very heavily on calling.
Yep. So an agent in the office or someone says, hey, we have a buyer that really wants to be in you know, Carytown or something.
Right.
And you would, what was your method when you would go to that part of the neighborhood?
Well, I would first of all go to the assessor's office, get a photocopy of every assessor's card for the neighborhood.
Okay.
And I'd start collecting phone numbers out of brushes, and I literally had back then, I had a binder.
Yep.
And I would have all the addresses, all the assessor's cards in that binder, and I'd leave notes on, you know.
Yep.
Very, very basic.
And
really.
So an assessor card today is essentially like the public record.
Correct.
You got the public record for each
right.
property.
Exactly.
And what did that do for you? Why did you do that?
I did that so I would have 100% market knowledge, right? And so if anyone called in to give the address, I'd right away say, oh, you know what, you've got 1,400 and some square feet. I see you sold your house back, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it gave me legitimacy because I totally knew what I was talking about.
Wow, I hope you wrote that down because that's big. Now, yeah. it also takes a lot of time. So
right.
was that what you did kind of in the middle of the day and then you'd go in the afternoon and see these people at their doors? Where did you find the time to go to the assessor's office and get this? Or, of course, today we would now go to public records online.
Right. Well, now it's real simple, right? Push,
yep.
push, push.
Yep.
First of all, I worked real hard.
Yep.
Okay. I put in 12-hour days.
Yep.
And I would just, generally speaking, you know, going to the assessor's office would take maybe half a day to collect it for a whole neighborhood because
yep.
the women had to pull the files out and the whole
mm-hmm.
nine yards.
They must have loved you.
Yeah.
You tip them well, or you bring them cookies every now and then?
They, you actually start building relationships with them, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's good. So so you got the assessor cards, you have the knowledge of the neighborhood.
Right.
Then what?
And then what I would do, like I said, I would start calling.
Yep.
The goal always is to get a listing, right?
Yes.
Once you get that listing, you work off that listing.
And the script was what?
And the script, when I call, oh, I
yeah.
just simply, very simple, say, hey, by the way, you know, I have a buyer who's looking for a home in your neighborhood. Have you ever thought of making a move now or in the near future?
Have you ever thought of making a move now or in the near future?
Yeah.
And they respond with, no, but thank you for calling.
I'll say, excellent. They said, would it be okay if I touch base with you in a year or so to see if your plans have changed?
Would it be okay if I touch base with you in a year or so to see if your plans had changed? And probably
right.
most would say yes to that.
Most of them do.
Yeah.
I mean, I find that if you really always ask permission
mm-hmm.
to call them back.
Yep.
Almost everybody will say yes.
Yep.
And then the most important part is you have to take notes about what the discussion was about, right? Because I would take note, they would tell me things about their daughter with high school. So when I would call back in a year, they might forget me, but the minute I start talking about, well, remember your daughter graduates from high school next year, they immediately then go, oh yeah, and they connect with you. Wow. And I think that's where a lot of people fail. They're just making the phone calls and not collecting data.
Yep, so making the calls or doing it at the door, but making notes of each one and
correct.
Going back and putting that into a system or a CRM and bringing that conversation back up.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense why that would be effective because, like you said, most aren't doing that. So when right. the one guy or gal calls back and actually has notes that they're referencing from the conversation,
right.
I think it's really hard for the prospect to be rude or give you high objections right. or hang up, right, at that point.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So you essentially started building relationships with all these homeowners through the years. How long did you do that for before you shifted gears and maybe did a different method? How long did you do the talking to them and making the calls?
You know, I did that for a long time. And, mm-hmm. and I would, you know, like you said, I started moving.
5 years, 8 years,
yeah,
3 years?
5 or 6 years.
Five or six years.
I focused on that very heavily. That's how I started growing my business. And then, of course, what happens, you start doing other things, you start mm-hmm. getting calls from. But yep. the other thing too, I've always been very, very good with my past customers and clients, right?
Yep.
And so I built, like right now, my listing side, 73% of my listings are people who know me.
Yep.
And it's because I have a really, really solid system of staying in touch with people. On the buyer side, it's 58% of the people are people who know us.
Who already know you guys.
Right.
So when you talk about you have a solid system for staying in touch with people, can you share what that is?
Again, it's just very basic, right?
Okay.
We have a newsletter that goes out every single month.
Yep.
On their birthdays,
what's in the newsletter?
We used to do sort of a generic newsletter.
The cookie cutter stuff,
which doesn't work.
Yep.
We're now in a system where I'm actually creating it myself.
Yeah.
Like what you were talking about earlier, with just relevant information, right?
Yeah.
And so we just literally started going to that system.
I love that.
And you get much better response to that.
Much better response, much better open rates, much better feedback. Yep.
Yep.
So a monthly.
We do that monthly.
Yep.
I also send them something in the mail once a month.
Yep.
I do an annual report that comes out every January where it talks about the entire marketplace and we mail that out.
So back up for a second. The piece of mail that they receive monthly.
Yeah.
Is it something different every month or is it a market report? What is that look like?
Sometimes it's a market report. Sometimes it's like we do, right now we're doing two client events a year. So one of the cards is inviting people
them.
To the client event.
Yep.
Sometimes I'll just, there's some topic that I think, you know what, people need to know about this,
mm-hmm.
and I'll send something out like that.
Yep.
My marketing person will sort of come up with ideas and...
Whatever's
relevant at the time.
Yep. So one email a month.
One email a month.
And one piece of physical mail per month.
One physical month, yeah. And then the quarterly report. The annual report, which comes out in January.
Annual report. And what does that look like?
It's a four-page brochure, and it just talks about all the trends in the marketplace for the last year. Like, you know...
What took place.
Yeah, what took place. Yep.
New listings, sales.
It talks about, like, number of new construction permits that were pulled, the number of active listings in each different school district, number of closings in each school district, after-sale prices in all the different school districts, things like that.
You know, what's interesting in hearing you talk about this stuff, every single person in the room is capable of doing those things.
Correct.
The challenges that we see with most agents is sticking to it time and time again, even when you're not getting results.
Right.
Because I'm sure you went several months or even several years before that actually started to be a good use of your time or a good ROI in your time.
Right. But I'll tell you this, I time block to do that because I also send quarterly market reports to particular neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally time block a day to do that once a month. And what it does, it also, I enjoy it because it gives me a really, really depth understanding what's going on in the marketplace, right? When you stop everything and just really, wow, this is what's going on, right?
Yep.
And it allows me to talk with sellers about, hey, you guys, the inventory and your price point between 300 and 350 is up 42% over last year. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
And that gives you an awful lot of legitimacy.
Well, one thing I've always admired about you, and it was always really a weakness of mine, is you really do study your market,
right.
Meaning you know, like you shared, every house, you know, you know, I'm sure you're at a point now where you've sold the same house 3-4 times because of your knowledge of that neighborhood or that particular market. So how did you get to the point to where you decided that that was going to be your focus? Well, how did you arrive at that?
Well, first of all, I'm a real high C.
Yep, that helps.
That helps. And so, and I enjoy it, you know? So I just sort of, I just can't envision going to a listing appointment not having that kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I have to really be, in order to be confident, I have to really know every single angle what's going on.
Yeah, most high C's do.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
And Ann Arbor, I mean, it's a very educated community.
Yeah, it is.
And a lot of people expect that.
Yep.
Right? It's
it's a good fit, right? And it's interesting because people say, well, and you've heard me say yesterday, well, there's four different types of styles out there. There probably is a higher level of C in the Ann Arbor market because of the university and so forth and the hospitals and the people that get into a lot of that type of work, right?
Oh, yeah. No,
I'm sure you've noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just like if you go to Seattle, right? Or, I'm sorry, not Seattle, Silicon Valley, right? You're going to find a lot of high C's in Silicon Valley, right? So it does vary per market to some degree.
And what's that right now, it's even more relevant than before because, you know, when I got started, consumers didn't have information, right, that they have today.
Yep.
You gotta realize a seller, all they're focusing on is their little neighborhood.
Yep.
And they study it and they study it and they study it.
Yep.
And they, a lot of time, you wanna make sure they don't know more than you do.
Yep.
And so I think it's a responsibility to really go in depth with that.
It's your responsibility to know more than they do.
Right.
Very important point because today, like you said, a lot of this stuff is at their fingertips.
Yeah.
So, you know, I tell our agents all the time, before you go into a house, pull up their Zillow, pull up their Zestimate.
Because they know them.
They know what it is. So you better know what their Zestimate is. Because guess what? They'll put you on the spot and say, well, Zillow says, and then, oh gosh, I don't even know what Zillow says. I didn't think to check it. They're checking it. So you better know that stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So let's shift gears a little bit. Of course, I know that you know, and one of the reasons why I have you up here is because of your success in that hyper-local type of stuff. What do you do outside of the phone calls and the mailings? What else fuels your business to be so hyper-local like it is?
We've done a couple of things. Like I said, I developed a website, that's probably about 15 years ago, called the Condo Hotline.
Okay.
And what this site did, it's very different from any other site, that we focus on complexes in Ann Arbor, and every page, and this took a lot of time to collect the data, but it's got photographs, it's got floor plans, it's got bylaws, it's got site maps.
Yep.
And that site now has become so powerful. Every complex in Ann Arbor is pretty much, if you type in the name, is number one on Google or number two on Google.
Yep.
And so there again, we became hyper-focused on the condo market.
Yeah.
And to the point where a lot of people think I have all these properties listed.
Yeah.
And we even get phone calls nonstop from people think we're the actual association.
Yep.
And so that site at one point was 40% of my business.
Wow.
It's changing.
Yep.
Because the whole internet world is changing, right?
Yep.
But there again, we became hyper focused.
Yeah.
In that condominium market in Ann Arbor.
Yep. Yep. And that was, of course, something. Was that branded or non-branded?
Non-branded.
Non-branded. Yep. And I think there's a lot of you almost have to do that in order for something like that to take off.
Yep.
Because today, people feel like they're being sold way too much.
Correct.
So you were providing a value and not connecting it to, you know, connecting the dots, so to speak, so the consumer felt comfortable because they weren't going to be sold by going there,
right?
And that probably is one of the biggest reasons why that took off.
It was nice.
It was very neutral.
Oh, no, absolutely. And then the nice part about that site was people had to register to get floor plans, bylaws, and things like that. Mm-hmm. So when they register, we get their email, their phone number, and their name.
Yep.
And so I can go into a listing appointment on a condominium and say, Mr. Seller, here's 20 people who came to our site in the last 2 months looking at your complex.
Yep.
I've got their name, their phone number, their email. The minute I get the listing, I'm going to call them.
Yep.
I mean, that's a real, real powerful tool.
Yeah, love that. You have a database now that's how big? Past client and
past
SOI.
Past client is about 2,800.
2,800.
Yep.
And so what are you doing to add value to those people on top of what we talk, you know, the annual reports, by the way, that is value.
Right.
Anything else to add value on top of what you just mentioned?
Again, we do, you know, like I said, we send out birthday cards with a gift certificate to a local ice cream place. I do handwritten notes. I do handwritten notes every morning. I'll do handwritten notes on their anniversary date. Still.
Every morning?
Every morning.
And what time do you do that at?
Is
that
Very first thing in the morning.
First thing you do?
Yeah.
Do you have a number, five a day, three a day?
What will happen is this: my staff will just put whatever birthdays and anniversaries are coming up, and I just sign them and put them on the front desk.
Yep. That act alone is a big reason why you get a lot of repeat referral business.
Right.
And the reality is that's one of the easiest things we can do. Now, it's time consuming, but if you time block it, it just becomes part of your routine.
Well, it's a lot of things. You know, if you do everything, I always tell people success is just doing a whole bunch of little things and just doing them consistently, right?
Yep.
And so I just make a certain number of phone calls every day. I do a certain number of handwritten notes per day.
Yep.
And it doesn't take a lot of time if you do it a little at a time.
Yeah. Love that. Where are your listings coming from right now? What are you seeing in your market?
Right now, well, like I said, 73% of our listings come from past clients, referrals from past clients, referrals from realtors, things like that. Mm-hmm. The last month, we've gotten 4 listings from expireds.
Interesting.
And they're people calling us.
Yep.
And so, and that's a real interesting dynamic what's going on right now, because in this market, I would say most people who've been in the business less than 10 years don't really know how to service a listing. Right?
Sure.
And so what happens is the first 2 to 3 weeks is a lot of fun. You know, you got people showing it, you got feedback, you got this and all this activity is going on.
Yeah.
And then about week 3, nothing's happening and you don't know what to say.
Yep.
Right? So guess what? They don't call. And then the seller calls and guess what? They don't even return the call because they don't know what to say.
Yep.
Then about week 4 or 5, they start looking around for different realtors.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously when the market softens, you're going to start to see the expireds pick up again. Are you seeing that in Ann Arbor?
We're definitely seeing tons of price reductions.
Yes.
We're not.
Which
seeing,
is a sign of.
Which
of
is
a,
that's a, one yep. of the, those are one of the trends I watch,
yep.
right?
Yep.
How many price reductions are we getting? If we're averaging sometimes 15 to 19 price reductions, and our market's not big, and Ann Arbor has its own small little MLS, so that's a lot for a small MLS.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that though about. A lot of agents, when they start taking listings, they especially in a hot market,
right.
they don't know any different. They don't know how to service because they're used to every single listing they take selling.
Right.
And so now all of a sudden the market softens a bit and they have to go back and have price reduction conversations.
Right.
So one of the things I know that you're doing today, you're running a mastermind on pricing and price reductions.
Right.
Can you just share with us a little bit about your pricing strategy?
Yeah, a lot right now, a lot of price, like I'm almost beyond CMAs. I'm just talking about what is the active market doing now, right? You definitely do a CMA so you get a sense of what the historical value might be.
Yep.
But then I start having conversations with the sellers. We track in my office every $50,000 price point for every school district.
Okay.
And so every beginning of each month, how many houses are active, how many are contingent, how many sold?
Yep.
Okay, because a lot of the information you get from NAR, from the board, or whatever, is all generic for the whole entire market, right?
Correct.
Which makes no sense.
Yep.
So when I go on a listing appointment, let's say, for instance, right now, the $1 million price point in Ann Arbor, the inventory, and I have all these graphs that show this, the inventory went up 70% from last July to this July. The houses are selling at 3 houses per month.
Wow.
So I'm having a conversation with the seller, and I say, listen, you guys, historically, we've only had 3 sellers per month.
Yep.
And if you want to be gone by the end of the year, that means there's going to be 18 sales. So if there's 62 houses for sale right now, and there's 18 that will sell based on historical data, at the end of the year, there's going to be 40 sales, 40 houses that haven't sold, right? It has got nothing to do with marketing. It's just called supply and demand. And so if you need to be gone by that, these are the comps, but we've got to go below the comps now because we want to be one of those 18 that sells. So those are the conversations I have.
So you're having this conversation at the table.
Yep.
And are you bringing stuff with you to support that? What are you taking out in relation to the pricing conversation?
Well, I have all these graphs. I sit down and I show them the data, you know, and it's hard for them to argue that.
Yep.
I think a lot of times people work off CMAs, and the people stay focused on that.
Well, on the comp,
on the comp.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more to pricing a house than the comp.
Especially on the higher end.
Correct.
You might be able to get away with it in the $200,000 to $300,000 range, where they move a little faster, list a little quicker, and make decisions faster. But on the higher end, they're really critical, not only of the agent that they hire, right, but the start price, because they don't want to screw it up, and you don't want to screw it up.
Right. But when you have the graphs, and it's really interesting, because there's a couple things I look at. One, if the inventory graph is going up like this, under contract graphs going like this, right, we're seeing the spread.
The gap.
And so, because we track that every single month, I already can catch what's going on sometimes 2-3 months before most people can.
Yep. Love it. And you're showing them that, obviously, right there at the table. And you're explaining that, hey, the wider this gap gets, the more we open ourselves up to risk that the prices are going to come down.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being here with us today, Martin. If you didn't already know it, I really look up to you and I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark. Let's hear from him. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for taking your time to join Jeff today on the Live Unreal with Glover U podcast. To get started on having an unreal business, take the real estate self-assessment. After you complete the assessment, a member of Glover U will get on a call with you to create an action plan to improve your score. Go to www.gloveru.com/self. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. Search for Live Unreal with Glover U on iTunes, Podbean, or Spotify, and subscribe today. Until next time, remember, when dealing with sellers, know your neighborhood. It is your responsibility to know more than they do.